Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is one of those events in Jesus' life that is recorded in all four Gospels. And this morning we're reading from the Gospel of Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 11. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, you will find it on page 45 of the New Testament. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Personal note, some of you have commented on the incision on my forehead. Many of you have been to dermatologists. You probably understand what happened. I went in with a little half-inch basal cell carcinoma and came home with a 2-inch incision on my forehead and a large bandage that went from my eyebrows all the way up. And I asked the doctor, I said, "I have to preach this weekend. Do I have to wear the bandage?" And he said, "No, you can take off the bandage just for your worship services, but put it back on when you get home." So I get the stitches out on Wednesday and hopefully a clean bill of health. But that's what this is all about, if you happen to notice. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and there's a story of a little boy who happened to be sick on Palm Sunday, and so his mom decided that he should stay home, and she stayed home with him, and the dad went on to church. And a little while later, he came back with a palm branch. And the little boy said, "Dad, what do you have there?" And he said, "Well, when Jesus entered into the city, everybody waved palm branches. And so I brought a palm branch for you." And he says, "Darn it, the one day I'm sick, I miss Jesus." Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I want to share a little bit with you about Palm Sunday and as we enter into Holy Week and give you some background, a little better, hopefully a little better understanding of what happened there. On the Sabbath before Passover, Saturday, as we know it, Jesus was at Bethany. He was staying at the home of Mary and Martha, two of his followers, along with their brother Lazarus. Now, you may remember Lazarus. A little while earlier, several weeks earlier, Jesus had responded to a call from Martha and had journeyed to Bethany and found Lazarus in the tomb. And Jesus raised Lazarus. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came out of the tomb and was restored to life. And this caused quite a stir, as you might imagine, in the community. Not many people, you know, are able to do that. So Jesus, already well-known in the area, became even more well-known. And his power increased. And the authorities became even more determined that he needed to be dealt with. Jesus, after he had raised Lazarus, went away. He didn't want to confront the authorities at that time. He had a plan. He had a schedule. He knew what he wanted to do, and he knew how it needed to be done. So on the Sabbath, he was at Bethany and observing the Sabbath with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and making plans. The following day was the first day of the week, and he planned on entering into Jerusalem for the last time. Now, he was aware of scriptures, and he knew the passage from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout out, O daughter of Jerusalem. For behold, your king comes to you, victorious and triumphant, humble and riding on a donkey. Jesus made plans. This was how he was to enter Jerusalem, to show that this messianic prophecy of Zechariah was being fulfilled by him. He made arrangements for a donkey to be obtained. On Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he decided that this was the time, and he began preparations to enter Jerusalem. Passover was, the preparation for Passover was beginning. And there was a custom at that time for Passover. Passover, that time, that year that Jesus was, the same time is also what's happening this year. I know you know that. It's called a Shabbat Passover. Passover coincides with Shabbat, Sabbath. And that was what it was in Jesus' time. And this, a Shabbat Passover was considered holier. It only happened every 7 years or so. And so for a Shabbat Sabbath, that was something a little bit more special. And that was what was occurring when Jesus was there. John tells us that this was a Shabbat Passover. And so this was what Jesus wanted to do. This is where Jesus wanted to be at this time. He wanted to be in Jerusalem for this Shabbat Passover. And so he made arrangements to do that. But before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about Passover. For those of you who may be unfamiliar, Passover extends back to about 1300 BC when the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt. And Moses was raised up as a prophet to lead his people out of Egypt and to the promised land. You're probably familiar with that story. And you know that it took several plagues. There were 10 plagues that God sent on the people of Egypt and on Pharaoh to convince Pharaoh to let my people go. It wasn't until the 10th plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn, that Pharaoh was finally convinced and relented. God told his people through Moses that you need to protect yourselves from this plague by sacrificing a lamb and taking the blood of the lamb and smearing the doorposts with the blood. God will recognize that sign and the wrath of God will pass over your house. And so they did that, and the wrath of God passed over their homes, and they were allowed to leave, but they had to leave quickly. They had to leave so quickly they weren't able to, the leaven to rise, and so that's why now at Passover they eat unleavened bread as a commemoration for that. Well, you know the story. Moses brought the people out, and eventually they crossed over into the promised land, and they established the nation of Israel. So this is kind of a defining moment for the people of Israel. This is their birth story, if you will. How the nation began. And it goes back to the Exodus and the Passover that commemorates that. So this was a Passover. And one of the things that happened during Passover was the high priest, on the fifth day before Passover, the custom was for the high priest and his entourage and the priests to go out of the city and to select from the herds the most perfect, unblemished lamb to be brought in and to be prepared for the sacrifice that was to take place on the day of preparation right before Passover. And this happened every year on Passover. The priest would go out. He would take his entourage. All the priests would go out, and they would have palm branches, and they would line the street from the temple out to the main gate, and there they would wait for the high priest and his entourage to find the lamb and to bring the lamb back into the city. And as the high priest returned with the lamb, they would begin to shout, and they would raise their palm branches, and they would wave their palm branches, and they would shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna." Sound familiar? So this was what was happening on that first day of the week. Jesus decided this was a good time, this was the right time for him to make his entrance into Jerusalem. So that early that morning, he leaves Bethany with his disciples and a number of his followers following with him. And they walk from Bethany, about 5 miles outside Jerusalem. They walk to Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem. And as they get closer, Jesus can see the city in the distance. And the Bible tells us he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Not for himself, not because he knew that he was going to die, but rather he wept for the city because he knew what was going to happen, that in about 40 years, Jerusalem would be destroyed, the temple would be brought down, and that Israel would be no more. He wept because he knew the future, not for him, but for the people of Israel. He continued on until he came to the Mount of Olives, and it was there that he sent two disciples off to get the donkey that he had made arrangements for. They brought it back, he sat on it, and then they made their way to the gate. It just so happened that this was timed so that the chief priest, Caiaphas, and his entourage had already gone out the gate, but everybody was waiting. They were lining the streets, waving their palm branches, waiting for the high priest to come back with the paschal lamb. And suddenly the crowd begins to come in, and they're waving their palm branches, and they're singing, "Blessed be the name of the one who comes, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and Hosanna." And they begin to pick up the shout, and they're all waving their palm branches, and then and this crowd comes in, and then the priests, something's not right here. This isn't the high priest. This is the Rabbi Yeshua and his followers. And they cry out to Jesus and say, make your followers be quiet, shut them up. And Jesus says to them, if they were silent, the stones themselves would shout. And they continue, and all of the people, the populace was around them, all waving their palm branches and singing the praises. This was the entrance of the Messiah. The people had been waiting for the Messiah. There were other elements also waiting for a Messiah. There were the rebels, there were the zealots, the ones who were looking to foment a revolution. And they were in the city that day. They were looking for a leader who would overthrow the established government and drive the hated Romans out of Israel. They were looking for a leader that they could rally around. This was the man. This was the man. And they were waiting. They were waiting to strike. And the people were waiting for a Messiah that they could believe in, that would restore the fortunes of Israel. All of those expectations were there as Jesus rode into Jerusalem and continued down the main street and guided it, finally wound up at the temple. And there at the temple, he went in and he looked around, he prayed, and then he left. Mark said it was late in the day, and he left and he went back to Bethany, where he would then wait to return to Jerusalem the next day. What I want you to understand is that Jesus was not an unwilling victim in this whole scenario. Holy Week was planned out. Jesus knew when he wanted to come to Jerusalem. He knew what circumstances he wanted to appear. He wanted to appear as the Messiah, but not as the kingly warrior king coming in on a white stallion, but rather coming in, as Isaiah describes him, as the suffering servant, to come to die for his people. Well, they weren't ready for that. Scripture tells us that on the following day, on Monday, Jesus returned to the temple, and this time we have that scene where he drives out the money changers. You know, Jerusalem was filled with people from all over the known world at that time, speaking different languages, wearing different costumes. The place was packed because of this Shabbat Passover in particular. It was a very, very important time for the Jewish people. And so the authorities wanted to arrest Jesus, but they couldn't find a way to do it. They knew that if they tried to arrest him while the crowds were there, while the zealots were around there, it would be immediate riot and an immediate disaster. So they wanted to arrest him. They wanted to put him to death. He was a threat to them, but they didn't know how to do that. On Monday, he comes back. He cleanses the temple. He drives out the money changers, which probably further enraged the high priest, because that was a big money raiser for the temple, because they took a cut of everything that the merchants sold, and the money changers doing all those things. Jesus drove them out, and then he spent the next couple of days in the temple teaching, and many of those teachings we're familiar with from the scripture. But all of this was leading up to Thursday. By this time, the people were getting restless, especially the zealots. They thought, when is he going to rise up? When is he going to call for a revolution? What is he waiting for? Some scholars believe that Judas was also asking that same question. And some scholars feel that Judas felt, now's the time. We need to take advantage of this. Jesus isn't acting quickly enough. And so Judas felt that by turning him over to the Roman authorities, turning him over to the high priest, that it would culminate in Jesus calling for the angels to come, and then there would be a great holy war with Jesus as the victorious king. This was in the minds and hearts of so many of the people. They were had been so long in slavery almost to the Romans and to the others, and so they wanted that to happen. So many scholars believe that Judas was kind of impelled, or his intention was to force the issue, to force Jesus to act. So he made arrangements. And on Thursday after the Last Supper, when Jesus was with his disciples, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know the story. He prayed that the cup might pass from him, but he knew that that cup could not pass, that he had to drink that cup that would result in his death. In the garden, Judas identified him to the authorities. He was arrested and taken for trial. The following day, on Friday, the day of preparation for Passover, the time when the sacrificial lambs were being slaughtered, Jesus was on the cross. As the paschal lamb was killed in the temple, the Lamb of God was executed like a criminal on the cross. It was the culmination of what God had planned. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He didn't mean that I am finished. He meant it is finished. What? God's plan of salvation. This is what it was all about from the very beginning. God sent his Son to die for us, for all of us, not just for the people of Israel at that time, but for all of us for all time. As we go through Holy Week. This is the beginning of Holy Week. As we go through Holy Week, keep these events in mind. Follow Jesus through this week, remembering that everything he did with a purpose. Everything he did was to fulfill God's will. Everything he did would lead to his death and ultimately to the resurrection we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Amen. Amen. Amen.